Our good friend Tim Layden from Sports Illustrated has just been honored with the Media Eclipse Award for that feature piece that he wrote, which appeared in early June, right before the Belmont Stakes, and it is titled Remembering Chick Anderson's Legendary Call of Secretariat's Record Run at 1973 Belmont Stakes. And Tim, kind enough to spend a little time with us here this morning. Tim, first of all, Happy New Year. Congratulations on this tremendous honor.
Happy New Year to you guys, and thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, very memorable call, obviously. It is something that we hear, seems like every year when we talk about the Belmont Stakes. Talk about your approach as you started to think about doing this piece on Chick Anderson.
Well, I think that, you know, something I said when Jim Gluckson called me with the news of the award and asked me why I did the piece. And my response to Jim was that, you know, sometimes the best stories are untold stories that are require real digging and discovering, and those are great. And then there's other stories that are just sort of sitting out there in plain sight, and no one does them. And I think that, obviously, there's renewed interest and intensity on thoroughbred horse racing around the time of the Triple Crown races, and especially the Belmont, if there's a Triple Crown on the line every year. And often people write about Secretariat, and often people bring up that memorable Belmont from 73. And I think when that happens, you hear the call, and I've heard it so many times, and I just, this time around, I was trying to think of something I could do between the Preakness and the Belmont that might distinguish itself, because it's really hard. You can only do so many Baffert profiles and so many Mike Smith profiles, and I just thought, I was always been fascinated by that call, guys, and I just thought, you know, I didn't know Chick. I missed him really as a caller by a little bit. I was a little bit too young, not by much, but a little. So I didn't know him, and I just thought maybe I'll just try to find out who he was. And because I really was had always been overwhelmed by the performance he delivered that day under pressure that he could never have seen coming.
Yeah, that is a interesting point of view, the pressure that he was under to call that race. And that's such an iconic event too. I mean, every time you go to Belmont Park and you see the Secretariat pole, as they call it, the winning margin, it kind of, you know, reminds you of that day. I mean, I remember where I was when I saw that race. I was at work in a department store in Alhambra, California, and I went to the office of the president of the retail establishment and watched it on his TV in his office, and I'll never forget that, you know. And I was lucky enough to meet Chick Anderson when I was working at Santa Anita, and he was a wonderful guy. But you know, I think that's brilliant of you to take that, and you're so right. I mean, you know, we get Baffert and Mike Smith to death sometimes, and those guys are important, obviously, and both tremendous ambassadors for our sport. But that race just means so much to so many people, whether they saw it live, whether they were even born. I mean, everybody knows that race. That's a racing fan.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, being a little bit inside baseball here, but we're all as writers or broadcasters or podcasters or documentarians, we're all trying to get eyeballs. We're all trying to see people, get people to see what we do. And Secretariat is a pretty good jumping off point for a horse racing story if you want people to read it. There's tremendous affection and just a real emotional feel that people have for Secretariat and many of them just from that one race. There's a lot of people that had this great love for Secretariat that never saw him run another race except that one. The majority, because there wasn't that big a crowd at Belmont that day, the majority only heard Chick's call, because obviously Chick didn't do the on-track call that day. Dave Johnson did. And people just remember that call. And, you know, to me, the really, you know, referencing back to what I said initially, I think what gets overlooked is that, you know, Chick called what he was seeing, but he didn't know what he was seeing. You know, that's the thing. It's he called that race as it was history unfolding, but he couldn't have known that it was history unfolding. Really, one of the coolest things that emerged for me was, you know, I talked to Charles E. Canty, who had been a longtime horse racing journalist, pretty much retired from that now, but was very helpful to me and knew Chick well. And you know, she was at I guess Monmouth that day, I think, or somewhere down in Jersey with her husband looking at horses, and they watched the race on a monitor, you know, when she saw 109, you know, she and her husband both said, well, that's not going to hold up. But Chick went with it, and that's the thing, and he went with it, and it could have gone way wrong. You say tremendous machine, and then Secretariat stops at the eighth pole, then you're looking at a gas. So, I mean, it's and there was every reason to think he would stop. I mean, in real time, we didn't know he was going to keep going. But he did keep going, and Chick went right along with him, and that's always fascinated me.
Visiting with Tim Layden of Sports Illustrated. You can read the story at SI.com. We're going to go ahead and post the link on our website following this program with a podcast of Tim's interview. So you'll be able to follow the link right to the SI.com article on Chick Anderson. Tim, it was kind of the perfect storm. As you pointed out, you know, Secretariat rose to the occasion, as did Chick Anderson with that call, and it became iconic. It became one of the most historic moments that we've had in racing history. I want to read this one sentence from your feature piece because I think it brings up a very valid point. You said, it remains the most significant moment in modern racing history, an event that reached beyond the racetrack and sank roots in the broader cultural landscape, even in a time of Vietnam and Watergate. And I think that's a great point. It is a call. It is a race that transcended the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, and that rarely happens. You know, I do think we saw it with American Pharoah a few years ago in 2015, not as much with Justify this past year, which I don't think surprised anybody when that 37-year gap was gone. And Secretariat was working on a gap, too. It had been 25 years since Citation, so there was that same sort of lust for a Triple Crown that we saw in the 2000s. So that was one factor, and you know, again, I think there were a lot of things going on. Horse racing was not what it had been in the 40s and 50s by the 70s, but Secretariat sort of gave it a rebirth. And, you know, I think the country was in turmoil in 1973. There were a lot of things going on. It wasn't dissimilar to now, but there wasn't in terms of the public discussion of many things, but there also wasn't, there was at that time a war going on that was nearly over by then, but still going on. That had cost a lot of. I think people were looking for something to feel good about, and Secretariat really gave them that. And the exact why of that is very difficult to get your arms around. I mean, it's really not the underdog story that was portrayed in the movie a few years ago, because Secretariat came from a very successful barn that had a Derby winner the previous year. So it's I don't know what it was. And the Belmont came. He was pretty popular before that Belmont. And that was the icing on the cake. But he had been on Time magazine before that race. It's pretty amazing. And I think that's another reason why people remember it so well.
Yeah, I think the Silks had something to do with it too. They just went with the chestnut, and it was such a flashy picture, Secretariat with the blue and white Silks, and it was like red, white, and blue almost. It was kind of an all-American type thing.
Yeah, and the one horse, the one name, the single word name, I think captures people's attention too. I mean, Secretariat. I'm not. People don't really know what a Secretariat is, but the name rolls off the tongue, and the chestnut part, big red. You know, a female owner at a time when that wasn't common. There were a lot of factors involved there, and then the Belmont really just encapsulated all of it, and I think Chick. Got his arms around all of that, and he only had 2.5 minutes to do it.
And I love the parallel that you were able to draw, Tim, to other sports and other memorable, iconic calls that we've heard in other sporting events. You pointed out, do you believe in miracles? Yes, with Al Michaels and the U.S. hockey team. Down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier with Howard Cosell. These are memorable calls in sporting history, and Chick Anderson's call of Secretariat winning the Belmont is right there with them.
I think so. You know, that one line, and he's moving like a tremendous machine. But then, you know, I wrote the long paragraph of his call of the finish. You know, that paragraph where he starts out with, and Secretariat is all alone. And, you know, it's just, he never, it, really, guys, this remarkable, way that he was able to link his own wonder at what he was seeing, but never stop delivering information and never completely lose it. You know, he didn't start screaming and shouting. And, you know, there have been some great calls in the past decade. You know, Trevor Denman with Zenyatta, and this is unbelievable. And Durkin had a whole bunch of them. But I think in a way, you know, you listen to Chick, and some people criticize him and said, wow, there's, you know, there have been 100 calls better than this. And, you know, my point was not that he rose to that level of emotion that of the guys I just talked about, but that he didn't. You know, he kept it under control and just laid out what was happening. I just thought it was beautifully done. And then the more I learned about Chick, about what kind of guy he was, and, you know, a tremendously memorable friend and character to a lot of people, but also a guy who lived a really lonely, peripatetic kind of life, racetrack to racetrack, and, you know, five kids at home in Indiana who he really didn't get to see all that much. It was really an interesting life that there was a tinge of sadness to it, too. You know, he was a guy that was repeatedly told to take care of himself a little better, but chose not to, and maybe or maybe not cost him his life at a really young age. So to me, those factors also weighed in on why it was interesting for me to write about him.
In Moving Like a Tremendous Machine, it's something when you hear it, you know exactly what it is. And I don't know if you came across it in your research or whatever, but Luke Kreitbach, the late Luke Kreitbach, was calling the Twice Around at Ellis Park one year, a couple of years maybe before he died. And there was a horse that was in front by quite a ways, and I believe John Court was on it. I can't remember the horse's name, but they turned for home, and he said whatever the horse's name was is moving like a tremendous machine. And it just, you know, put the biggest grin on my face because it was apropos, but it's such a blatant theft. I loved it.
Well, I'll say this. If you're going to do that as a race caller, you better pick a point where it's kind of funny and almost inappropriate. You know,
yeah,
I don't think you should do it in the Preakness.
Yeah, no, but yeah, at Ellis Park on the last day, you probably are entitled to do whatever you want.
yeah. But and I'll say that Twice Around at Ellis Park is just about the perfect time to do that.
Yeah. Tim Layden, Sports Illustrated, ladies and gentlemen, he has another second Eclipse Award, right, Tim?
Yeah, second. 31 years apart. I got a streak going now.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. He'll receive that Eclipse Award January 24th at Gulfstream Park. We'll let you go and get fitted for that tuxedo, and want to wish you a happy new year. Congratulations again on that tremendous honor.
Okay, great talking to you guys. Thanks a lot.